Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Welcome back. Moolala Money Made Simple is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit, as I said. The counseling is free and judgment free. Millions of Canadians are carrying more debt than they would like to be carrying. Some are carrying more debt than they can even handle. And sometimes slashing expenses just isn't enough to get you back on track. There are a number of solutions out there, things that you can consider: a debt consolidation program, a bankruptcy filing, and there's something called a consumer proposal. We're going to focus there today. Carol Newbury-Mitchell is a licensed insolvency trustee at MNP, and she's here now to talk more about the consumer proposal process and how to know if it's right for you. Hello there.
Hi there, Bruce.
People often talk about bankruptcy, like the word. They don't necessarily know what it means, but they know what the word is. They would be less familiar, perhaps, with a consumer proposal. Tell us about what it is and how it works.
That's so true what you said there. Is a lot of people think when they're calling a licensed insolvency trustee that the only option available is a bankruptcy. And they're so delighted when they hear that there is an alternative, and that is the consumer proposal. So a consumer proposal is basically where you make an offer to your creditors to settle your debt for less than what you owe. Most proposals are structured as monthly payments over 5 years. And it's considered an alternative to a bankruptcy, and hopefully avoid that unless it's absolutely necessary.
How do those amounts get set? Is it a function of the cash flow of the filer?
It's a function of number of items. So one is going to be the cash flow for sure. There's no sense putting someone into a proposal that either they can't afford or maybe doesn't offer the creditors enough return. But it's also going to be based on what their assets are. It's going to be based on what the return to the creditors would be. And so that's why it's really important when we're discussing the options with an individual is that we have to know their entire financial picture. It's not a matter of just saying how much you owe. Okay, this is how much you're going to have to pay.
There would be some people picking up the phone and calling you who own their own home. And it may be that that home has increased in value dramatically, but that's not so helpful if they can't access a line of credit to pay off their consumer debt. How does it work for those who do have assets?
Yeah, that's a really tricky one, that example you just gave, which maybe I can provide a bit more clarity on after I just explain how assets come into it. The way that assets generally come into it, let's say somebody has something like some equity in a vehicle, or maybe something in an RESP, which is not exempt and would come into a bankruptcy. We basically have to look at what would happen in a bankruptcy scenario, what would be available to the creditors in a bankruptcy scenario, and then offer the creditors more than that in the proposal. So for most people, that works out for them great, because they say, great, I get to keep all my assets in the proposal. And creditors say, great, we're going to get a little bit more in the proposal than we were going to get in the bankruptcy. So it works out for everybody. In the example you just gave, that's a bit more tricky, because if you're looking at a situation where somebody's equity is more than their debts, perhaps, and you know, where we're located here, where I'm located in the GTA, that's not all that uncommon because the property values have been going up so much. But you're right, they can't refinance in order to pay off their unsecured debt. So there are options, what's called a full payout proposal, which is where someone does basically offer a proposal to their creditors and but they pay off the full amount of the debt over the 5 years. So it's not really a settlement at that point, but it's their only option basically to keep their home. And there's lots of reasons why that makes sense. Yeah. Some people may have disabilities and their home, you know, allows them to live independently. And so it makes sense for them to enter into that because it's not super cost effective, but it's it for some people, it makes sense.
Your firm, MNP, is a licensed insolvency trustee. It is regulated federally. What should clients know about how the fees work? I mean, if you're going to a lawyer to help you with a will, you know, it's going to cost $1,000. Mm-hmm. If you're having an accountant file your taxes, those fees are, you know, pretty easy to find out and understand how they work. How do they work with a consumer proposal?
Right. So with a consumer proposal, the proposal administrator, that's our term in the consumer proposal, is paid from the amounts that are paid into the proposal. And that's the amount that we're paid is all set by government tariff, it's called. The government basically says, this is how much the trustee or the administrator is allowed to be paid from the proposal. So all licensed insolvency trustees will be paid exactly the same amount on the same proposal. There's no discretion on our end. What can be different is some trustees may charge a higher or a lower upfront filing fee, but any amount that you pay to a trustee will be included in the proposal. We are not permitted to charge any fees outside of the proposal.
And the range would be, you know, what would be the range? Is it $2? Is it $20,000?
For the filing fee?
For the cost that a client would pay for a consumer proposal. And I know it's not clear to them because you're not, you know, giving them an invoice for your services, but just so they have a frame of reference, is it $3,000?
It's actually, I can tell you exactly what it would be. So it's $1,500 plus 20% of the distribution to creditors.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Another big question I'm sure everyone wants to know is what happens to the credit score? So you sign up for this consumer proposal, you work it through over the course of, you know, could be 5 years, those monthly payments. What happens to their credit score at the end of it?
Right. So when you file the consumer proposal, all the debts that are included in your proposal will be noted as being included in the proposal. And the rating for a proposal is a 7. So if you know the scale, 1 to 9, 9 is the worst rating. That's where it would be if it was a bankruptcy. Proposal slightly higher at a 7. And that rating will stay with those debts for 3 years from the date that you complete the proposal. So if you take the full 5 years, it's going to be on there for 8 years, the proposal, and then all the debts will fall off and that will fall off as well. Mm. But a minimum of 6 years. So a lot of people don't realize even if you pay it off in 2 years, it's still going to be on there for 6 years from the date you file.
And what are the implications of a rating like that? Does that prevent them from getting a credit card? Does it prevent them from getting a mortgage? Or does it just make those two things more difficult to do?
Yeah, that's such a common question. And the answer I always give is it's going to be dependent on what your entire fact scenario is. So any lender looking at you is going to look at, of course, your credit rating, and they're going to see that if you're doing it within that 8 years, that you filed a consumer proposal or you're in it still. But they're also going to look at, what is your source of income? How much income do you earn? Are you applying for this mortgage, for example, with a co-borrower? What's their credit rating like? So we've had lots of situations where somebody is actively in a consumer proposal, making payments, maybe they're in year 3, and we get a call from them. They say, look, I'm buying a house. And so I'm getting a mortgage. And what we often see is that the mortgage company wants to pay out the proposal as part of their funding of the mortgage, because they don't want a competing payment. So it's not to say that that's every situation, but the point I'm trying to get across to people is that it really depends on your individual circumstances, in addition, of course, to the credit score.
You and I have been in this space for a long period of time, and I think we know that this is no one's first choice. Everyone's first choice is, no, I can just work my way out of debt and I don't need the intervention of a licensed insolvency trustee or a credit counselor or anything like that. That's simply not the reality. There are people, I'm sure, who you speak to all the time who are really concerned about the shame that they might feel if they had to choose this path. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, if we could snap our fingers and have that go away, I think both you and I would agree we would snap our fingers and have that go away, because it takes a lot of courage to even pick up the call to call and make that appointment. But what are the implications outside of the financials? Could this prevent someone from getting a job? Is this something that people can find out that would affect you in an entrepreneurial context? What are some of the other things? What I'm trying to do is delineate between the rational fears and the irrational fears associated with a filing like this or a proposal like this.
Yeah, that's fair. Certainly a lot of, and I'm going to add another one to what you said there, a lot of landlords also do credit checks. So when it comes to employers, if you're applying for the type of position where a credit check is required, it could affect your ability to get that job. Same with applying for an apartment, especially in a very competitive market where there's lots of other applicants who maybe have a better credit rating. It's not the be all and end all, especially when it comes to, for example, looking for an apartment. You know, we say to people sometimes you can, you know, deal with their fears by having someone co-sign for the lease or something like that. The employers, maybe, you know, you speak to them, you explain to them. A lot of times there's maybe just not a lot of knowledge about what exactly this proposal is that's showing up on the credit report. And so if you get denied a job, you can perhaps, if you have the opportunity to speak to them and explain to them exactly what it is, that may provide some benefit. But there are certain professions that, you know, just by the fact that you are in a proposal could limit your ability to work in those, not as much as a bankruptcy. You know, that has some other implications, but, you know, it is something to be aware of.
There is hope. There is hope. There are options. Carol, thank Absolutely. You for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Carol Newbery Mitchell is a licensed insolvency trustee at MNP. We were talking about the consumer proposal, which is one of the options out there, one of the solutions for folks who are carrying a level of debt that they simply cannot crawl their way out of.
Hi, it's me, your debt. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.